Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
The dumb as we continue it is Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. All right, let's get the good of the day on your Throwback Thursday.
Well, the first good of the day that I was going to bring, I have two. Right, because the first good of the day, just real quickly, is about the life of Michael Gambon.
Yeah.
I do this often where an actor that's impacted our lives passes away, and he did. I think, you know, him bringing, he had the unenviable task of replacing the first Dumbledore and becoming the replacing Richard Harris's Dumbledore.
Right.
And becoming the Dumbledore that I think was better suited for the later half.
Right. Richard Harris's Dumbledore was like, Harry Potter. And then his was like, Harry Potter. Totally different methods. But he didn't try to imitate Richard Harris.
Right.
In the movies. He just became a different Dumbledore, but an effective one. Yeah. What else was he in? Was he in any other big things? I'm sure he was, but maybe movies I never saw. But was he in any other big, big movies? Michael Gambon?
Yeah.
What was he in? I'm gonna look him up. Well, don't think off the top of your head if you don't know.
I know he's in a lot of British ones, but there was one in particular. He was in the Paddington movies.
Was he?
Paddington
I didn't
Bear.
See those.
There was one. It was on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not gonna remember it.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm looking through his thing and I don't recognize anything. So it means doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're not on my radar. But yeah, no doubt. Harry Potter movies were great. I had such a weird thing with those Potter movies because I remember my kids, I didn't watch the first like two or three. I didn't care about them. I didn't read the books. I was 30 years old when the books came out. And then maybe I was like 28. And my son, when he got into it, I remember watching the first one with him. And then I realized we're watching them all every time they came out. And by the time he came out, the last one came out, he was like a teenager. It was like pretty cool. It was like, we've done this since you were a kid.
Kind of grew up with them.
Yeah. I'm like, we did this since you were small. It's kind of cool. It was kind of neat. So, yeah. Okay. So what was the next good?
The other good was something that happened. It happened yesterday. Okay. And I'm going to play a clip for you. That's not even 24 hours old.
Okay.
And it was almost I don't know if it was a Nostradamus moment, but it's kind of funny and ironic when we had Steve Gardner on yesterday that he had to say this.
What actually went wrong in San Diego? Was there some injuries that really kind of hurt them? And they seem so loaded that if you could lose a guy or two, why aren't they in this conversation?
Yeah, this one of the big mysteries, I think, of the entire Major League season is what's wrong with the Padres. I mean, they've stayed relatively healthy. They've pitched relatively well. They've hit well, but it's just, the extra inning games, I don't think they've won an extra inning game yet this season.
Wow. No.
And if you didn't check the box score, they got their first extra inning win yesterday.
Yay!
So congrats on the Padres, keeping their playoff hopes alive, although I think it's still a long shot. I just found that very ironic because I remember hearing that. That stuck out in my head yesterday after the interview. I was like, man, the Padres, you know, it is kind of weird that they had this, you know, billion-dollar roster. I'm going to say billion-dollar roster and are struggling to get into the playoffs. And one of the key things was they were 0-for-12 when it came to extra inning games before last night.
They needed, like, they have not been officially eliminated yet. I mean, it is a long shot. I mean, it is a long shot. But they could have been eliminated last night with a number of different things, and none of them came to fruition.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
One of them doing something they haven't been able to do all season long, which was win an extra inning game.
Yeah, like the Cubs needed to win, didn't. The Reds needed to win, didn't. They needed to win, did, like you said, in extra innings. And good for them. Good for them. Maybe they'll hang on until the very, very end. The Cubs are like, people are panicking over the Chicago Cubs. They think the Cubs are going to blow this. And be out of this thing.
And if they did, wouldn't that be so Cub?
Right. Like right now they're tied with Miami for that final wild card spot.
Yeah, and Miami's mad because the Mets might have cost Miami.
They split a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah, but it was because they weren't supposed to have a doubleheader.
That's right. So, yeah. And then the Reds are a game and a half back. But the Padres are 3.5 back with like 5 games left or 4 games left. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's 4 games. I think it's four games.
Yeah, because you have
Thursday, it's relatively impossible. Yeah, it's relatively impossible. But nevertheless,
mathematically not.
Not yet. Not mathematically yet. Good for the Padres. Yeah, good for Steve Gardner for pointing out something I had no clue. If you had asked me how many extra inning games, I was like, I don't know, 5, 6, I don't know.
I just thought it was weird.
Zero? That's wild.
He says that on our show, they go out and win.
Yeah, we should have him.
Extra inning game.
We should have him do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Next time we have him on, say, what's your next prediction?
Right, exactly. What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is I'm jumping back into the Taylor Swift world real quick.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's all the NFL can talk about.
I'm telling you, man, we got to make a decision on this as NFL media members.
Right.
Are we going to do this all season, or are we going to put the kibosh on this soon?
I think this might be the last one. All right. As a lot of social media users were pointing out, there is something funny that's happening, all right? And this is, they have real concerns for all the new Swifty fans that are now Chiefs fans, obviously, because, you know, they don't know any other teams. I mean, they might as well be called the Kansas City Swifts. But the Swifty fans that are now getting into football, their first two games they'll watch, see the Chiefs go up against Justin Fields and then Zach Wilson.
Right, exactly.
It's not really a good product to showcase to them.
It is, exactly. But what's going to happen when they play Miami and it's going to be a good game and a tight game? Are they going to go, it's not supposed to go like this, right?
Yeah, how come Travis didn't catch 7 touchdowns again?
I thought they were going to win all their games. Yeah, that's going to be something along those lines.
Right.
Yeah. But again, we got to make a decision on this because I'm not going to be able to handle a season of nothing but Taylor Swift stuff.
Well, it's just crazy. I mean,
I want to do it.
Know, the newest thing that I saw coming out from Taylor Swift, and apparently she is committed to go to Sunday night's game with the Jets. So
that
game's going to be a sellout as well. But a lot of people are looking at the Taylor Swift menu from last Sunday's game. Which isn't anything spectacular.
What do you mean, like what she ate?
Yes. And it's like people are treating this like it's a radical thing. But apparently she was having chicken nuggets and mixing it with a combo of ketchup and ranch.
See, we're done. Get off of this, everybody.
Like ketchup ranch combo is the new combo.
Let Perez Hilton do this or whoever covers entertainment these days. Let that be the thing. Don't stop doing it. Stop doing this as NFL media members.
Yeah. Is it exciting that she was there? Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, you know what? Now we got to move on and focus on the games. But I feel like Sunday's game is going to be... And here's Taylor Swift's update.
Yeah, I don't need it.
With the Chiefs and the Jets. I mean, that Chiefs-Bears game was so bad that Fox moved away from it.
Yeah.
Despite Taylor Swift being in attendance, they were like, we can't show this product anymore. That's Swifties. This is what the NFL does.
Right.
So be prepared.
Don't come into our world demanding changes to the way we do business.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get the Sunday night game all to yourself. They're not moving it to the NBC movie of the week.
And enjoy it. I mean,
so enjoy it. You're going to get the whole game. If it's 32-0 and Kansas City's rolling in the third quarter, they're not switching to Heidi. We're staying with the game.
Now they might show a lot more Taylor.
You might see a little bit more of that.
You might see more Taylor in the booth if it's a terrible game. I could see that happening.
Right.
And I don't know, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Ian Eagle was getting a lot of praise for the game not this past weekend, but the weekend before when they played Jacksonville. And the rumors were coming around about throwing some Taylor Swift references in Travis Kelce's play. But I don't need this in every broadcaster.
Right.
Every time the Chiefs play. I don't need... Hey, producer, give me 17 songs and lines from songs that I can use throughout the broadcast. Like, just send me an email of 17 lines. I don't want that. I don't want that from Buck and Aikman and Burkhardt and Olsen and Romo and Nance. I don't want it all the time. Like, it was cute when Ian Eagle did it. It may be cute when somebody else, throw somebody else in the second week, but... We're not doing this to the end of the season, are we? I don't mean to be grumpy old man, but I don't want this to happen. be a thing in the National Football League.
I'm looking over a list of Taylor Swift songs. It would be so easy.
Oh, of course it would be.
To just come up with line after line after line. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, I will say this. For the NFL, this is good business.
Obviously. It really is.
It really is good business. Like we say earlier, she is an international star. She is bigger. When what we think is big in the sports world, it is exponentially bigger in the entertainment world. Like, we have to come to agreement on that.
Well, I mean, her concerts, raised $5 billion globally, which puts her ahead of 50 countries' GDP.
Right. Patrick Mahomes, as big and famous as he is, could probably go to Bora Bora and be left alone. But Taylor Swift cannot.
Right.
That's the difference.
And Travis is heading that way.
That's right. And he's heading into that uber elite stardom. They'll mob him in Siberia if he ever gets there. All right, we'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb. And again, as rolling along on a throwback Thursday, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
We take you back to 1991 on a throwback Thursday on this week. Actually, the anniversary is tomorrow, but they were in the middle of the Ryder Cup in 91. One of the most important Ryder Cups in United States history. Given the domination of Europe, that they found their groove, adding more countries to the roster. They started winning the Ryder Cups on a consistent basis in the late 80s. And 91, war at the shore, the United States finally won it back. It was one of the more dramatic Ryder Cups that has ever been played in the history of the tournament, coming down to one putt, one moment. Put it in, you win. Miss it, you lose. And Bernard Langer missed it. And the United States won the cup. And it's a surreal setting when a golfer misses something and then it leads to amazing celebration. You don't see that in golf tournaments. But if you watch the video of Langer's putt, as soon as he misses it, the United States loses its mind. Wives hugging wives, players going crazy. Jumping in the ocean. They pushed Dave Stockton into the ocean. He was the team captain. The place was going absolutely nuts, and Bernard Langer was the one standing there having to deal with it. And everybody on the European team, what I loved about it was afterwards, they all said the same thing. They're like, the guy had a downhill right-to-lefter of 8 feet for the cup. I definitely wouldn't want to have put that. It was like they at least sympathized with him missing the putt. So we got the good, the bad, and the dumb continuing. It is. Do we have another bad, or are we going right to the dumb?
We got a dumb.
All right, the dumb.
And the dumb of the day, Tony, is that you knew that this was going to happen eventually.
Which is?
Beginning next September, so a year from now, you could attend the Southeast Technological University in Ireland, where you could start your four-year journey towards a Bachelor of Arts degree in content creator and social media.
Oh, okay.
So basically, meaning you can get a degree in becoming an influencer.
So in Ireland, you can do this.
Right. So it's only a matter of time before it comes over here. But,
oh, without question.
But yeah, so if you don't know how to become an influencer, you can now go to college to become an influencer.
Are influencers going to start coming out saying, all right, let's say a bunch of colleges started this up, right? Let's say like all these universities, like, yeah, why not get in on it? Would influencers come out and say, you absolutely do not need a four-year degree to do this?
Definitely. Because there is a big one.
You do not need to get a degree in this. This is how you do it. This is what you do.
Yep.
Go from there.
Yeah. So in some of the classes, I guess, is how to be an influencer. There's also how to not get canceled.
Oh, goodness. Forget it. If your kid goes to school for this, pull them out. Pull them out and send them somewhere else. God, college is becoming a big waste anyway. And now you got this going down, forget it.
I know.
How long? I mean, I don't know anything about the influencer business, but I want to know, I would like to know what percentage of influencers make it. Percentage? Kind of like there's a whole bunch of professional baseball players, if you count minor leaguers, this is the amount of percentage that have ever gotten big contracts.
Yeah, and it's usually, I mean, 2%, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like it's a very small number.
How many people in every town in America is trying desperately to be a content creator, and how many of them are actually like, well, I make over $1 million a year?
Well, everyone is because, I mean, I got to figure there's thousands upon thousands, if not millions of people trying to do this.
Right.
But, you know, we only know, like, I know I've heard of Mr. Beast.
That's the only one I know.
He made
really?
It.
Really?
And the other one I always
well, I shouldn't say that.
No, you probably know more. You just don't know you know more. But the other one, I know Mr. Beast, and then the other one that I always point my finger at is Ryan from Ryan's World.
Right.
Because that kid was pulling in $28 million a year. I don't know if he's doing anything now.
But I mean, like, Paige Spierniak, the golfer, the girl, pretty golfer, like, she's one. Livy Dunn is one. Like, you can start naming them.
I'm talking about the ones who came up out of nowhere. You know, they came up out of nowhere.
Are most of them coming out of nowhere?
Yeah, but they.
Livy Dunn. I mean, let's be dead flat honest. Okay, how many people know her from gymnastics?
Well, how many can you name another gymnast?
Right, like Paige Spierniak. Did you even know she was on the LPGA tour before she became famous?
I follow
on
all
social
the time,
media.
Tony.
Right, like.
No, that's
true. We kind of pretend that they are, but everybody has a. Everybody's known in some small circle. Like, but the only like it's unfair to say. They were something before. If the only reason you know they were something before is because they're now big, they're big now. Like again, Livy Dunn would have just been a pretty gymnast in a world where we don't pay attention to college gymnasts.
And I'm sure there's been a couple pretty gymnasts that have passed under the radar that we never knew about.
Exactly. But yeah, so again, coming out of nowhere, almost all of them are coming out of nowhere.
No, that's true.
You know? And like the Mr. Beast thing, isn't
that? I
think
he was a video game streamer before that.
What? But isn't that like the exception? Isn't he like the Alex Rodriguez contract of this business, which is no one is going to ever get $250 million again? Then they did, but wasn't he the guy that went, okay, this guy's got a channel worth like $15 billion or something insane, and you're not going to probably get that?
Yeah. And that's where he's able to, and it keeps growing because he's like, oh, I'll give away a free car. So everybody watches.
Right.
You know, I mean, one of the videos the only video I've ever seen of him was when he found a college student and says, hey, will you fly to France right now and go get me some dozen baguettes?
That's pretty sweet. What a cool deal that is.
And he paid him. The guy literally jumped on a plane right then, like an hour later after they met, flew to Paris. Picked up some baguettes, flew back, and presented them there. I mean, wasn't there that long.
That's pretty great. But but somebody made a point about him, and they said, okay, so this is how many people watch the Super Bowl, and this is what that is worth. He has more than that.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, he's got a $1 billion channel. Like, he generates like 250 million views on his videos. Like, if you're a television station or your television show and you got that much, how much would that be worth?
Right. Well, that's why this is a
crazy business.
I mean, every year the Super Bowl is the biggest TV show of the year.
Right.
That's why the 30-second spots are $5 to $6 million.
Right. So somebody asked him, he said, would you take $1 billion for your channel? He said, no.
Yeah.
He's worth way more than that. He's right. And he's right, based on the metrics that we're using in media culture. Now, if this class could teach you how to do SEO, how to, all that other kind of stuff, that would work. But if it's just how to not get canceled and to look good on camera, that's a waste of time.
I think there is a technical aspect to it that'll probably happen.
Now, don't say that if we don't know.
I don't know, but I'm going to assume.
We don't know.
Because it is Southeast Technological University. So the technological part is there.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're like, hey, this is what you need to aim for, all those coding or keywords or whatever it might be.
It's a difficult thing.
It is.
It's not easy. I've had to learn it with my stuff. It's like, it's really hard to get your thing out there on the Google search and everything and algorithms on TikTok and things like that. It's a side business that you do. You don't just throw it out there and be like, I got 1 million views. Like, you throw it out there and you orchestrate it to get 1 million views. You put it in position to show up in people's feeds, whatever feed you're doing. Right. I mean, that's part of the business. It's not just I look good on camera and I said something funny and I'll just let the world digest this.
And hope it goes viral.
The good ones know how to get this thing up and up.
Wondering if there's, every once in a while you run into someone who exceeded in their field, even though they never studied in that field, and get a doctorate. Honorary doctorate. Will we get some of those?
Maybe.
Mr. Beast get an honorary doctorate from the Southeast Technological University?
Well done, world.
Setu. Well, SCTU.
Stop making engineers and, you know, important people in the world and start sending us more social influencers.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure it's a they're going to make the course legit.
Yeah. I wonder about this. I don't know anything about it, so I'm just speculating. I wonder if that business is sustainable. If there's a content creator. Yeah, if that bubble bursts, if there's just too many content creators.
Well, I think the bubble is kind of bursting in the sense that for a while there, and I knew someone who was able to do this where they traveled a lot and they were able to get all these cheap hotel rooms because they said, oh, I'm going to put it on my blog. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Well, everybody can say that now. And all of a sudden, I think all these hotel chains or restaurants are going, well, yeah, but so is that person at table two.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're right. Like, if you're a hotel and somebody comes in and goes, can I get a free hotel in exchange for exposure? They could go, I have 17 people in this hotel right now that said the same exact thing. Like, you know, we have to pay our bills.
Yeah.
Like, in the end, I owe money to all of these people that you see right here, and I owe money on this building and the electricity that you're using and the food you're going to eat. Eventually, at some point, somebody has to pay me cash.
Right.
Right? So I love exposure, but somebody's going to have to pay for this. And so if I say no to everybody, I say no to everybody, and you can say whatever you want.
But Facebook isn't paying me.
Right.
You know, exactly. I'm not getting I'm not getting an X check.
Exactly. All right, more on the Damian Lillard to Milwaukee Bucks Thursday night football extravaganza for the state of Wisconsin. What does it mean for the other teams in the NBA? And again, looking at tonight, we got Alex Stroff coming up in hour number three to talk about the Packers and the Bucks. Again, on a busy day yesterday. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.